Blog Talk Radio.
Well, happy Wednesday, everyone. This is Brian Hayes. I'm here with Access Radio Live. It is Wednesday, September 2nd, 2015. Before I have my guest here on, I would like to welcome our sponsor, StringSmart. StringSmart is the simplest way to stream movies, TV shows, live sports, music, and more using your TV with no monthly subscription. Everything you want will be in one place. StringSmart's technology crawls the internet to bring you the biggest streaming channel selection. Get access to over 1 million, I said 1 million, HD movies and TV episodes whenever you want with no monthly charge. That means you can get rid of your cable bill, you can get rid of your satellite bill, because now you have StringSmart. This right here will change the way you look at television. Also, I would like to thank Quality Refrigeration Concepts. Quality Refrigeration Concepts, their mission is to perform for their customers the highest level of quality service at a fair and market competitive price. To ensure the longevity of their company through repeat referrals, business achieved by customer satisfaction in all areas, including timeliness, attention to detail, and service-minded attitudes. Tire staff is dedicated to making their customer satisfaction their number one priority and providing reputable professional service. This is the foundation of excellence committed to you. And our other sponsor, Garden of Life Protein. It is an organic protein supplement, and it is used by athletes at the highest level, especially in combat sports. Welterweight for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He uses it. Talk to brand ambassador Steve Montgomery, welterweight in the UFC. He uses Garden of Life. Garden of Life, once again, it is organic. That means it's good for you. And that's what you have to understand. It's good for you when you want to put, it's organic, so it's good for you to put this kind of stuff in your body. Garden of Life would like to empower. Their products are designed to let you take control of your own health. It is extraordinary. They believe in premium nutrition that goes beyond the ordinary. Your health is a gift, and extraordinary health is a goal worth pursuing for both you and your family. Garden of Life's commitment to health goes beyond offering some of the most effective nutritional products in the world. They are interested in building relationships with people to help them transform their lives to attain extraordinary health. By combining the best of nature and science, the Garden of Life brand offers a path to healthy living, premium products that are supported by education and innovation. Now, after this commercial, you will have Chandler Brinson, outside linebacker for the East Forsyth Eagles in Cartersville, North Carolina. Okay, guys, we are back, and I have on the line Chandler Brinson. Chandler, how you doing today, man?
Good. How are you doing, Ryan?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. You know what? Thanks for being on the show today. I'm glad that you're giving me your time. and I'm glad to get you on my show, you know, just ahead of the football game versus West Forsyth, who is a big powerhouse team from the Central Piedmont 4A Conference. So, like I said, you know, I know you got homework and I know you have football practice. Thanks for giving me your time.
No, thank you, Ryan, for letting me be on here on the show.
No problem. What I start off by asking every athlete is, what is your background? You're a football player. What is your background in football, and did you play for a youth organization?
Well, I've always played linebacker ever since I played Pop Warner for the Raiders, since I was like 5 years old. And I've basically played Pop Warner for the Raiders ever all the way up to my freshman year in high school.
On a Friday night, what makes you nervous before a game?
I don't really get nervous before a game because, really, I'm just so pumped up and ready to go out there and play. I mean, I just want to be out there. I mean, that's what I love to do.
Well, that's great. So then how do you prepare yourself before a game?
What I do is I go to a corner by myself, and I close my eyes. I just visualize what I'm going to do out on the football field, whether it's making tackles, intercepting the ball, and hopefully that's what will happen in the game.
You guys beat RJ Reynolds last Friday 48-0. How do you assess your performance individually?
Well, there's no one that has a perfect game. Back after looking at film, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that I could go back and need work on, like taking my read steps and getting out to the receivers and getting good hands on them and making good contact.
I asked this question to another linebacker I had on the show a couple days ago. As an outside linebacker, what are your key responsibilities?
Well, the key responsibilities for me is really I have to – the first thing I do is take my read steps and read what the team's doing. Then if they're running the ball, I look at my DN. If my DN goes inside, I have to go outside to keep containment. But if my DN goes outside, I have to go inside and plug up that B gap. But if the team passes the ball, I have to take my read steps and open up at a 45-degree angle and smash the number two into the flats.
You couldn't answer that question better. How do you, like, before a game, you know, how do you handle, like, just the pressure? I mean, the pressure of playing in front of, you know, your school and playing in front of your friends and your parents. How do you handle that pressure?
Well, the way I handle it is I just take a deep breath. But, I mean, there's not too much pressure out there because I know my brother's got my back out there on the field. So I just know they got my back, and I think they know that I got their back too.
Give me your predictions on the game this week. According to a post I've seen on Twitter, you guys are West Forsyth is double-digit underdog. Do you think this will be a close game or not, and why?
Well, all I'm going to say is if you want to see a great game on Friday night, you will definitely want to come out here and watch West Forsyth play East Forsyth. It'll be a great game.
What has been the best game you've ever played from the Pop Warner youth level all the way up to now?
The best game I've ever played in was probably my freshman year. We played Glenn, that's our rivals, and I got a lot of tackles, and I got my first interception in high school, and I brought it to the house, and I dove into the end zone for my first high school touchdown.
Did they not throw a flag for celebration?
No, because the defender was trying to tackle me, and I dove over him, so the ball hit the pylon. So that was I guess it was fair to do that.
No, all right, yes, I understand you. So it was that situation where the diving was needed to kind of stretch the game.
Yeah, it was needed to score. Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah, so what's that game that you just want to forget about that you just played worse and it just bugs you every time you think about it?
Well, definitely in my Pee Wee year. This was the game to go to Disney World. We were up 21-0 at halftime, and I mean the whole game we were just spanking them in the first half, and then all of a sudden in the second half they just come storming back, and they were forcing fumbles and everything, and they came back with like a minute left and scored, and they ended up beating us. So that was definitely the worst game for me. Everyone on the field was crying. It was, that was probably the worst experience for me.
Yeah, I would say that would probably be terrible, but I mean, at the
end
of the day, you know, you that team had to be one of the best teams around here just because you were playing for that chance. So I hated you. You didn't go the way you wanted to go. That being said, so how was your preparation in the off season to prepare you?
There's never really an off season. To play the sport, you have to be 100% dedicated to succeed, really. We lifted weights, and we did speed and agility tribe drills with Coach Stu, our speed and agility coach.
Yes, sir. I do understand that. Now, according to Max Preps, they have you listed 6 foot even, 160 pounds, which normally it's a very, very small size for a linebacker. Are you working to kind of like put a little bit of weight on and, you know, and just get bigger, faster, stronger?
Yeah, yes, sir. I've always heard that. I'm on protein diets, and I mean, I try to eat as much as I can to gain weight. And you just got to keep working and with your coaches and stuff, and like athletic trainers to get your speed and agility up.
Well, this might help you a little bit. You're not the smallest linebacker that's played and actually gotten a game for East Forsyth back in 1999, which is probably the year you're probably born, but back in 1999, I played football. East Forsyth had a middle linebacker named Nate Turner, who was also a wrestler at 119 pounds, but during football season, he weighed approximately 135 pounds. But he wasn't scared to go out there and mix it with the best of them. So I wouldn't even worry about that, man. You just continue to do what you do.
Sure.
Now, as a linebacker, you know, it's a really important skill position. What do you feel like that you could work on to improve yourself at this position?
Well, to succeed in this sport, really, I need to keep working on my footwork and my coordination, because I mean, I don't have the best footwork and coordination. So definitely the best thing for me to work on is my footwork and coordination. I mean, training never ends. You've always got to train to get better at something.
Outside of football, do you work with any kind of like private strength and conditioning and speed coach, or do you just do everything in-house with East Forsyth?
Yeah, I just do everything really just inside East Forsyth. I mean, some days I'll come home and I'll set up the drills that I do outside, but really mostly everything is done at East Forsyth.
Football in and of itself is very challenging. What do you find the most challenging about playing football?
The most challenging thing I would have to say is definitely going out there and trying not to let your coaches and your teammates down. I mean, that's the worst thing you could do in my eyes, is just letting your coaches and teammates down. I mean, I hate it when I let them down. So that would definitely be the worst for me.
The head coach for the East Forsyth Eagles is Todd Willard. Tell me a little bit about the impact that him and his coaching staff has had it on you.
Well, you will not find a coach more passionate and dedicated to his players and coaching staff. That's for one thing. I mean, Coach Willard is always there for us. He's always checking our grades. He's always making sure that we're doing stuff right in the classroom. I mean, if I got a problem, I know I can just go talk to him. I mean, he's family to me. The whole coaching staff is family to me. I mean, like in family, there's always the good times and the bad times, but family is family. I mean, these coaches come out here, I mean, every day. I mean, they have families at home that they just give up just to come up here and spend time with us and help us get better at the sport that we love to play. So, I mean, I just have so much respect for them.
I actually have a Todd Willard story that he may have not told you guys, or you guys may have heard it at some point. But back in 2008, Todd Willard was literally best friends with the football coach at R.J. Reynolds at the time, a guy named Michael Probst. Mike Probst, in a first endowment game of the season, he had a linebacker named Matt Gefeller, who basically got blocked, and he eventually had a brain hematoma, a really bad brain injury that eventually caused his death. And Todd Willard called Coach Probst, of course, to express his condolences, and he said, "Listen, we have you guys next week, and if you're not going to practice, we're not going to practice." So basically, that in and of itself told me what kind of person Todd Willard was. He wasn't going to allow his team to get a competitive take advantage of the situation at the time that R.J. Reynolds' football team had by practicing when R.J. Reynolds couldn't practice. I mean, that just tells me what kind of extraordinary individual that Todd Willard is.
Definitely. He is one of the best coaches I've ever seen in my life. I mean, just the greatest.
Oh, yeah. Now, we hit a little bit, and you said Coach Willard's always checking your grade. How are your grades? What kind of student are you academically? Where do you sit at?
Well, I'm a straight A student. I mean, every night I go home. I mean, I study. I mean, I'll stay up till 10, 11 o'clock studying for my math, my English, my social studies, whatever it is. I I go home and do my homework. Really, as long as you try, you will at least get a B or an A. So really, I mean, it's not that hard just to go in there and just showcase your abilities and stuff like that. I mean, it's not really that hard.
You just got to
give it your all.
Gotcha. And I do understand. And the problem is, I think that what most students need to know is if you just simply show up and do the work, you'll get a C. And some students are too lazy to do that. So the fact that you're actually just going above and beyond just lets me know that you really want to be successful in everything that you do in life. So that's great. Now, to play at the next level, you have to have those good grades. But is that one of your goals? Would you like to play football at the next level?
Yes, sir. That has been my dream since I was in sixth grade. I've always wanted to play D1 ball.
Do you have any schools in mind that you may be looking to try to maybe play for?
My favorite college team is definitely NC State. That's my favorite team.
That's actually a good football program, Wolfpack.
Yeah.
What advice to any kids that's wanting to play football in high school?
Well, I would tell them basically that don't ever let someone tell you that you can't do something. Because I mean, when I was playing Pop Warner football, everyone always told me that I wasn't ever going to be able to play linebacker. I was always too small. And now going into high school, the first couple weeks of practices, I was just giving it my all, and I ended up becoming the starter after a couple weeks. So the main advice I would give them is just don't let anyone ever tell you that you can't do something, because if you want it bad enough, you can get it.
Yep, and give anyone. What what are your goals just moving forward, you know, on the season and, you know, just years from now? What are your goals? What are your goals for this
season? Well, my goals are I have to play D1 ball. I mean, that's just one of the ones that I have to have. And then my next goal is to make it to the NFL. And, I mean, grades are everything. So just need to make sure I keep my grades up. I prefer all A's, but, I mean, sometimes you can't get all A's. So.
You know, it's funny. It's kind of just off the subject because you brought up NFL. When an NFL team wins a Super Bowl, would you consider them world champions?
It depends. If the team goes undefeated and they're playing, you know what? Actually, if they've played every team, I mean, I would make sure that they've played every team before they would say that they were world champions. Because I mean, you never know. There could be another team that could be better than them. I mean, it's just sometimes it's just the luck of the straw, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but see, here's my biggest debate, and this has been a topic of debates, and I always want to hear people's opinions. How can you call yourself a world champion when every single football team is located in the United States? And, mm-hmm. you know, if they would allow Europe and Africa and everybody to put out a football team and then they win it. I mean, even the NFL doesn't recognize it. The media dubs that as the world championship. The NFL dubs it as a National Football League championship because they are the National Football League. And even more so in baseball, they're like, oh, you know, the Yankees just won a World Series. But no, they didn't. There's teams in
– Yeah.
There's teams in the United States in Canada. You know what a real World Series is? The Little League World Series. They come from everywhere across the world. Now, I would recognize that as a World Series or a World Championship. The Olympics, that's a World Championship. I mean, so I don't know. It just bugs me when a team in the NBA or the team or football team, and they call themselves World Champions when the only team that they compete against are – basically in one country. And I'm sorry to get off into a litany of stuff, but I just want to know your opinion on it and just kind of where you stood at with that. Like, you know, you're a world champion. That means every country has sent their best representative contest, and whoever is standing at the end of this athletic contest can call themselves a world champion. But, you know, that's just another subject, and I'm so sorry, but sometimes it just bugs me. But
you made a good point there.
Yeah, I mean, nobody ever looks at it that way. It's like you, bro, you're not a world champion, boss. You're not. Now, I wouldn't sit there and tell them that because they probably beat me or something. But you're not. You know, like you're a national champion. You're in college. You're an NCAA champion. You're not a world champion, like I said, it's never the organization like the NFL or NBA itself. It's the media that likes to dub somebody a world champion. But back to you, if you weren't playing football, what would you be doing?
Well, to be honest, I have no idea. I mean, I just can't imagine myself not playing football. I mean, I've always played it. That's what I love to do. I mean, I love to play football. But, I mean, if I had to pick one thing, I guess I would be playing basketball. But I don't know. I just can't see football not in my life. I mean, that's what I love to do.
Are you a multi-sport athlete, or is football the only sport you play?
I used to play basketball and soccer, but I'm managing it down just to football now.
Well, what do you like to do outside of athletics? Do you like to go fishing? Do you like to go hunting? Do you like what do you do that a normal kid would do outside of athletics?
Well, I like to go out and spend time with my family. We always like to go out on the lake and like spend time with our family and friends. I would have to say my favorite thing to do is every Sunday I go over to my papa's house and we watch the NFL, and we always pick who we think's going to win the games for this week and everything. So I mean, that's probably my favorite thing to do.
Do you participate in any fantasy league for the NFL?
Yes, I participate in my dad's fantasy football league with all his friends.
I actually have one myself. We're drafting on Sunday, and actually last year, man, I actually drafted Adrian Peterson, and that came back to bite me in the butt. But
yeah,
I had the number one pick. You know, as an athlete in general, no matter what sport you play, the practices takes its toll on you. Sometimes you're not hitting the house into 8 or 8:30. And then you have homework. You know, it's funny because teachers give out homework and they act as if another teacher ain't going to give you homework too. So
yeah.
How do you balance hanging out with friends, your schoolwork, and athletics?
Well, the first thing is first. Schoolwork comes first. That's the number one priority. Most of the time I go to practice. I mean, there's been some times where I told the coach where I just had to leave early for practice because I just got too much homework. I'll stay up until like 10 or 11 o'clock doing homework. I mean, that's just what comes first. I mean, normally I manage my time pretty wisely, though.
Gotcha. And that's tough. I think that more homework is given out nowadays more than it was when I was in high school, but it seems to be in this day and age that students are learning on a higher level of rigor that just simply didn't exist. But that being said, there's also the technological advancements that they have as far as learning. I mean, there are kids who are in seventh grade who academically are at the level of a high school senior just because I guess with what we have now, kids are learning at a faster pace. I mean, I reckon that's pretty good, but you know, it's just now you guys just out on you, and it's tough. And I just hear so many kids complain about how much homework they get, and part of being a student athlete is that you are a student athlete. Your job is to be able to balance being a student and being an athlete. And I think that's the hardest part, is having that balance. And it seems like that you've managed that pretty well. Now, you said you want to play at the next level and you want to have an outstanding season. If I was just a random person listening to this radio show and I wanted to figure out where I could follow you and your progression as an athlete, are you on any social media, and what's the hashtags or screen names or whatever they call that?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram name is CandyMan98. I normally post a lot of family stuff and basically what I'm doing in football, so that's a really good site to follow me on. I mean, I have a Facebook, but I don't really get on that much.
And I love asking this question, and if you listened to my interview, I believe you did, there's always a question I like to ask, and I don't know why I like to ask it, but I will also thank another sponsor while I cut to a break, while I give you a chance to think of it. If you could have dinner with three people, living or dead, who would it be and why? Now I'm getting ready to, I'm just going to thank a sponsor, and I'm going to come back to you, and hopefully you probably came up with a couple people. You got that?
Yes, sir.
Hey guys, I would like to thank another sponsor, MasterTech. MasterTech, they're Volvo specialists. They specialize in fixing Volvos. They're located in Griffith Park in Winston-Salem. I drove a Volvo. I took it to them. They kept my Volvo on the road. I would never endorse any person, any company, or any product that I haven't used myself. So Master Text on Griffith Road, they are the Volvo specialists. They will help you keep your car going and keep it up and running. I drove a 1988 Volvo 740 wagon, and they kept that car on the road. So if you have a Volvo and you need to have it serviced or you need to have something fixed, go to Master Tech, Griffith Park off Griffith Road in Winston-Salem, and ask for Robert Galazzi. And now we're back with Chandler Brinson. Did you figure out an answer to that question?
Oh, man, you got me with a hard one now. Just three. That's a tough one. I definitely would have to take my mom and dad. I just can't pick one brother, so I have no idea who the third person would be. That's a tough question.
It's the toughest question that they asked, and I'm gonna tell you where I got this question from. So, I'm sitting down for a job interview, and I'm in my suit. I'm ready to go. The first thing the guy does is he introduces himself, and he says, "Hey, if you could have dinner with three people, living or dead, who would it be, and why?" And of course, like you, I thought. And I'm trying to figure out, well, what's he trying to figure out? If I say a person that he doesn't quite agree with, will it affect me getting the job? So I really didn't know how to answer it, except really be honest. And I told him that I would like to sit down, and I said this, and I wish I could have took a picture, look on his face, and said I would sit down, and I would have dinner with Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, and Fidel Castro. And he said, why? And I said, well, I want to know why they have the hatred that they have for the American people to the point to where they want to send, of course, when I was asked about bin Laden, to the point to where they want to send people in their own country to kill themselves to blow up people in America. How is it? Why do you have that hatred? I'm trying to gain some understanding, but I just want to know. Not that they would have a answer that would be like a viable answer, but I'm trying to figure out why do you hate the American people so much that this is the stuff you do? And then Saddam Hussein, why do you treat your own people the way that you treat them? And the same thing with Castro. And as I'm explaining to him my answer to this, he says, you know what? That's one of the craziest. Of course, it just turns into the whole interview turns into a political conversation, which I really didn't want to even go that route. But that's really how I answered it. Yeah, I mean, I ended up getting the job, but I mean, I was just honest. But I mean, it's just a tough question. So I just like to ask it. I mean, you can't. At some point, sometimes in interviews, you got to be surprised with stuff. But Chandler, man, I would like to tell you, man, thank you for being on the show. And if you don't have anything else to share, man, I'll let you get to your homework or whatever it is you got to do.
Well, thank you for letting me be on here. It was fun. I mean, this is a good experience for me.
Well, I'll give you this advice. If you plan on playing football at the next level and, being pretty good at it, understand you're going to be asked a lot of questions. And you never know what they might be. So I'm glad that this experience right here will help you for future interviews. And hopefully, like I said, this has helped you out. So I appreciate you being on the show. And listen, good luck Friday night. I hope that you have an injury-free game and an injury-free season.
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me be on here.
No problem, man. Thank you. And I will be at the game Friday night.
All right. Well, I'll see you there. Good night.
Good night. Guys, that was Chandler Brinson. I don't know much about the kid. I just know that he is the nephew of a good friend of mine. And so that's kind of how I heard of him. And so I made contact with him over the weekend and said, hey, I want to have you on my radio show. And this kid, you know, judging from the interview, seems like a kid that wants to work hard and wants to be the best at whatever it is that he decides to do. So I wish him the best. And I have extra time. I know this is just a show in general. We talk about sports, but we also talk about things that I believe that one should have common sense over. So a long topic of debate, and I kept getting a lot of inbox in my Facebook or in my Twitter about it. So there was an article posted on Facebook, and it said that a white cop shoots an unarmed black man 3 times and kills him. Those articles that you see posted on Facebook, when it's put that, it makes you want to go and read the article. So I read the article, and as I'm reading this article, I see that the guy was given multiple directives to put his hands up and getting a surrender position, but he went to start reaching for his pockets, and he made a sort of threatening type move, and he pulled an object out of his pocket and pointed at the police officer, and they shot him. So, if you got, and this is just with all these articles that they have, oh my God, white cops shoot unarmed black person. Listen, first of all, if you just simply do what you say and put your hands up and listen and obey every command of the police officer, you'll be fine. And it's also when I saw an article a couple months ago about a white guy that shoots an unarmed black guy. And so I'm reading the article and come to find out, well, he was in this man's driveway breaking into his car. Well, they said, well, he was just breaking into his car. Well, you know what? You don't have to worry about getting shot if you weren't breaking in his car. And it was just like another article that I read about a guy who had multiple convictions of robbery, and he was a black guy, and so I think he went, and this one put him behind bars for 80 years, and the article read, oh my God, the judge gives this black guy 80 years in prison for robbery. Well, first of all, that's your fourth one. Secondly, if you didn't want to be in that position, you shouldn't have robbed anyone to begin with. I mean, a lot of this stuff's just common sense. And they look at it in a situation of to bring pity on something. It's even the whole and I don't really like to get into political rants, but even the whole Black Lives Matter. First of all lives matter. And if black lives matter, it probably needs to matter to us first. You know, it's crazy that we got black people killing one another in Chicago because little John walked down the block with a red bandana on. That's a senseless killing. That's what organizations like the NAACP needs to protest. But see, they won't, because that doesn't bring them media, that doesn't bring them notoriety. It's like the NAACP, in essence, thrive and make money off the whole a white person killing a black person. You know, there's never a protest that I've seen where they went up in Chicago to protest against the gang violence. You never see that. Do you know how much black on black crime is out there? Do the research yourself. So I mean, and all this stuff goes hand in hand. Right? And if I get talking, I'll have you up all night, and I most certainly don't want to do that. But black people, I'm black, and I'm proud to be African American. Use some common sense. You get stopped by a cop. If you run, you got something to hide. And if you get stopped, if you do anything other than what the officers tell you, then don't be surprised if you're getting pepper sprayed. Don't be surprised if you're getting hit with a baton or getting tased. Just simply do what they ask. And the last thing I said, the last thing I will tell you. So I watched this video of a white cop and a white guy, and he shoots this white guy. And from preliminary indications by looking at the video, this white guy had his hands up in a surrender type position. The reports that I heard was the guy, prior to that, had fought officers several different times and didn't want to comply. But from that video, he had his hands up and he got shot. Now, to me, like I said, preliminary, that looked bad. Because even though now if the guy's fighting back and he's posing a threat, then now is that time that you have to use some sort of force that is out of the ordinary of what you normally will do. You just can't go and shoot the guy for putting his hands up. I mean, if you were going to tase the guy, shoot the guy, or anything else, the time to do it was the time when he was fighting. Now the guy is no longer a threat. So I wonder what's going to become of that. Now, before I end the program, I want to encourage everyone to come out to watch. And the game's going to be at East Forsyth. If you don't know where East Forsyth is, look it up online, but it's in Kernersville and West Mountain Street. 7:30, West Forsyth versus East Forsyth. Chandler Brinson has number 50. He'll be playing an outside linebacker. Take a look at him. And I hope that he has a good game. And I hope you guys will enjoy the game. Well, that's it for me. And thanks for choosing to tune in to Access Radio Live. And this is Ryan Hayes. Everyone have a good night and a safe tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in.